Smoking Dank Sinatra, that's all gas. On the hunt in a tall grass. Intercepting every ball pass, then I run it back, that's a TD. Check the scoreboard, y'all last. We up one, you see me. Pussy niggas wanna talk about it, go to Hellcat, no demon. I be politicking on your broadcast, at the red carpet like the famous homie. Ask your bitch, really famous homie, and you know it's in me. It ain't on me. So creative like I made Adobe. I've been balling like I play with Kobe.
What's the deal? What's the deal? We back again, politicking the podcast. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we have the NBA officially making its return, man. So as we step into this NBA season, first topic we got to get to is who is the most overrated team going into this season? After all the moves are done, the season has officially started, man, and we got to see who were the winners and the losers of this offseason. So who had the worst offseason as far as NBA teams? Brock Purdy has just dropped two games in a row. The 49ers are looking like hot garbage right now. And we have no other quarterbacks. Actually, Brock Purdy is in concussion protocol. And Sam Darnold was looking like he's going to get the start this weekend. So did the Niners make a mistake by going with Brock Purdy over Trey Lance? And in the hip-hop side, man, Death Row owner Suge Knight, Death Row founder Suge Knight, he's going to be starting a podcast from jail. Some technical difficulties, Wi-Fi tripping out. Well, let's get started, man. So what's the deal, y'all?
What up, what up, what up?
Shit, man. So what do you think about this NBA season, man? It's just getting off. Denver and the Lakers kicked it off yesterday. Denver got their rings and then proceeded to beat on the Lakers. And then we had the Phoenix-Golden State game, where Phoenix was up early, but then it ended up coming down to the last stretch. Going into the season, man, looking at everything, all the moves, who do you think is the most overrated team in the league right now?
The most overrated team in the league right now. I'm going to give it to. It's between, for me, the Boston Celtics and the Phoenix Suns. I think that they both made some good moves. Lakers aren't overrated because, I mean, they technically got the same squad. Golden State ain't overrated because ain't nobody really picking them to do anything this year. Anyway, the Bucks are where they're supposed to be, championship. Are bust. What I seen of the Phoenix Suns going against Golden State, they did pretty good. But is Bradley Beal going to be healthy? What if Bradley Beal isn't healthy? Then that is a bust, right? Then what happens? What if KD continues to defer like he's been doing? Are the Phoenix Suns really a threat like that? Could they really just go on the back of Devin Booker and let him lead the way with Okogie and Watanabe? You know, we shall see. I think I don't really see Phoenix's depth. Now picking up their center. That was a good move. But I will also say the Celtics. I think picking up Holiday was a good move. But does that put them over the Bucks? No, it doesn't. Is Porzingis going to last more than half the season? We don't even know. So if even with a healthy Porzingis, people really think they're going to beat the Bucks, a healthy Bucks. I'm not talking about a beat up Bucks that everybody's been like, oh, the Bucks aren't it no more. No, the Bucks have been unhealthy with Middleton and then Greek Freak. We talking a healthy Bucks. Who is really beating them? And people are saying the Boston Celtics are the ones that are going to knock them off. Are the Miami? Matter of fact, I take everything I said back. Most overrated team is the Miami Heat. That is the most overrated team. Okay, they have done their thing, and they have slipped, and people don't really pay attention to them. But the Miami Heat is not beating a healthy Milwaukee Bucks. If the Boston Celtics ain't doing it, the Miami Heat ain't doing it neither.
I have to agree with that, man. The Miami Heat, they didn't grab anybody. They lost out on Jrue Holiday. They lost out on Damian Lillard. They lost Troy Vince, Gabe Vincent, and the other guy. Key pieces to their team. And what did they add? They lost Victor Oladipo. They lost a lot of their depth. And who's to say Tyler Hero even panning out to be that guy? You held out everything because you didn't want to trade Tyler Hero. But Tyler Hero wasn't even healthy for you last offseason. Is he even going to stay healthy? And if he does stay healthy, what is Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson going to get you to the point where you held on to these players so tightly that you missed out on not only Damian Lillard, but Jrue Holiday? So I have to say, just based off that, I mean, they're not a true contender in the East to me. I just think because the East got a top 3-4 teams, they just try to throw and lump Miami in there. But in reality, Miami really doesn't have a chance of winning the East or actually reaching the finals again. They were a play-in team that barely got in last year. They just got hot at the right time. And I don't see that happening again. And that was because everybody was not healthy, including everybody on the Bucks. The Bucks wasn't healthy. So I think the Miami is going to be a playing team again. I think there's way too much hype over Miami and Jimmy Butler over there.
And you really think that Kevin Love and freaking Kyle Lowry is going to get you over the hump? No. It's not going to happen.
No. Kyle Lowry ain't even a starter at this point. I don't even think he starts no more. So looking at all the moves that was done this offseason, we had a bunch of teams that moved up, and we got a bunch of teams that basically did nothing, like the Utah Jazz. They did absolutely nothing. Like, what did they add? And we had a The Charlotte Hornets, they had what's the player name that's in the domestic dispute, and then that they cut that
Bridges.
Yeah, he in a domestic dispute. LaMelo ain't fully healthy. They didn't add nothing over there. Like, who you think had the worst offseason as far as this year with all these moves and these splashes being made?
The worst off season.
You got people like the Toronto Raptors. They lost Van Fleet. They didn't add nothing.
As of what I have seen so far with the NBA starting off and it continues to be like this, I would have to say it would be the busiest team on the offseason. The Houston Rockets added a whole bunch of players, and they got smacked on today. So, and I think they were playing the Orlando Magics, and Orlando put a smack into them. So if you're going off of all the offseason moves you got with a Brooks and a freaking Fred VanVleet and all these others giving up stuff like that. Hey, I got to go Houston, but nobody cares about Houston. So outside of that, worst off season. Dang. Would I give it to, you know what? Worst off season, I would have to give it to my Chicago Bulls. My Chicago Bulls. They did absolutely nothing. They didn't add any pieces. They said, we're going to run it back, knowing that Alonzo Ball is not even going to play. And you just got smacked on by the freaking Thunder. Why? Because you're running it back with the same team that hasn't done nothing. So that's the one that comes to my head. I mean, I don't think the Clippers added anybody. I think the worst offseason moves are the ones that decided, hey, we are just going to run this back. Lakers might be in that category as well because they decided, hey, let's just run this same team back. And they're still relying on D'Lo. And I don't know why. I already like talked to my brother about this, and I told him, like, y'all need to get rid of D'Lo. Y'all should have never gave D'Lo another chance. He has been garbage since his Brooklyn Nets days. And on top of that, if Anthony Davis continues not to show up in the second half, then Lakers, you did absolutely nothing because you didn't make any real moves on the offseason. That's what I got, man.
I don't know. For me, my pick will have to go back to Miami, man. The fact that you had Damian Lillard locked up, there were no other bidders for them, and you decided to keep Tyler Hero over getting Damian Lillard, and now you end up with nothing. I think that stuff like that, I can actually go with, other than Miami, I would have to go with the Philadelphia 76ers. Because the fact that they tried to trade, the fact that they tried to trade James Harden, and then they couldn't trade James Harden, and then James Harden goes to all of this, and then all of a sudden he shows up and he practices, and then he doesn't come to the practice. He don't play no preseason games, and now all of a sudden he rejoins the team, and he's gonna possibly play, and it's just a whole shit show. Y'all added nothing. Y'all stayed intact. Harden had a chance to opt out. Y'all supposed to trade him and get some type of assets, and you didn't. So I think that the Philadelphia 76ers had the worst offseason, and it's definitely because right after they start to suck and it looks like they ain't going to be a contender, Joel Embiid's going to want out of there next. And when that happens...
And I heard the Knicks are trying to package them. And I heard the Knicks are trying to get Embiid.
Embiid over there with Donovan Mitchell? I don't know. That might be something. We might be on to something right there. But I think that with the James Harden, that coming back and biting Daryl Morey in the ass, he went for his boy, and now his boy then burnt him. And they both did some bad business. I mean, but that's what happens when you do business with your homies. Sometimes you cross these lines that shouldn't be crossed. And for me, it's always about disrespect. Once disrespect comes into the play, it's no circling back. If we're doing business, we're doing business. It's two sides, everybody trying to win. Once you become disrespectful, the conversation's over. And they say that there's no contact or conversations with James Harden and Daryl Morey. And now they're not even speaking to each other because James Harden want to go disrespect him on the camera. Now, is that going to get you the results that you're looking for, James Harden?
Nope.
No. Is that going to get you the results that you're looking for, Daryl Morey? No. Well, yet they still play this cat and mouse game. And that's why I say ultimately the Philadelphia 76ers have had the worst offseason because the James Harden thing. And not adding anybody. And if James Harden is out of there, we need to see who else is going to be paired with Embiid. And the fact that they don't know the future And Embiid might ax out just like Damian Lillard did. And it'll get real ugly then if Embiid wants out.
And it's crazy how James Harden don't show up to, like, camp or anything like that. And then he shows up to, like, play the first game of the season. Like, that's like, you – what is going – like how you're saying with bad business, right? Things go wrong, you know, miscommunications and whatnot like that. But Daryl Morey, he can still trade James Harden and get something for him. On the end of James Harden, it's worse for him. Like, you looking real bad. Like, dang, you don't even show up. You don't do nothing. And then you go, okay, hey, I'm here to play the game. If I was Daryl Morey, I wouldn't even play James Harden. I wouldn't even risk him getting injured. You know what, bro? You didn't even show up for camp. You didn't even do nothing. Let's keep it that way. We keep you on the bench. We're going to preserve you, and then we're going to trade your ass. We ain't even going to keep you.
So Amrod, tapping in, man. Welcome. So the question right now, what we're talking about, which team had the worst offseason? So we tapped in. We said the Chicago Bulls. We touched on the Miami Heat, missing out on the Damian Lillard sweepstakes. But we ultimately agreed that the Philadelphia 76ers, with this whole James Harden debacle, and not adding that one piece, the future looking unsettled, they to us had the worst offseason. Who do you think, which team had the worst offseason this year in the NBA?
Yeah, it has to be Philadelphia 76ers. You know, that whole mess with James Harden. Look, dude, like, you were with Oklahoma City. You left to be the man in Houston. You were the man in Houston for quite a while. You realize, hey, I'm not going to win a championship with this group. I need to go somewhere where I could try to win. Obviously, then right after that, where he went to Brooklyn. So that was a whole mess. And decided to be in Philly. And Philly, honestly, was and still is the best place for him. They have the pieces. You have an MVP in Joel Embiid. You have, you know, a great, you know, up-and-coming all-star caliber player, Maxey. You have the pieces. I get it. They got rid of Doc Rivers, who's now on TV, which they needed to make that move. But at the end of the day, you have the pieces. James Harden simply, I don't know what's, you know, what it is with him. But ultimately, yeah, it would have to be Philly. You couldn't make any moves because of James Harden's contract. You're not going to move Embiid. You know, again, the most that they could have done was try to go after Dame. But the problem is James Harden is no longer a trade bait. Nobody wants James Harden. No GM. No, I mean, you know, and it's unfortunate. And I believe he's dealing, you know, with the illness of his mom. So, you know, just praying, hope she's okay. But at the same time, I mean, dude, like, you know, you're the same person that's saying people aren't communicating with you. And it, from reports, it seems like you're not communicating with people as well about specifically what you want or need out of Philly and why this, for whatever reason, isn't working now. You know, and when is it ever going to work for him? What team is it going to work with? It would definitely have to be Philly, because of that situation and because James Harden simply doesn't want to be there. And it sucks because they have the talent to be that third team behind Milwaukee and Boston. But if James Harden doesn't play effectively, they don't have a shot. You know, Maxey is a great player and Embiid, of course, is a great player. But in this league, you need that third guy, and James Harden is certainly that when he wants to be. But if he doesn't want to be and he doesn't want to be there, it's going to be difficult, and that sucks for Philly.
James Harden wants to go to the Milwaukee Bucks or the Denver Nuggets, or a team that he knows for sure they have the greatest chance of just getting a championship. He don't want to work for it. He's done working. He says, just give me my championship and my bag and leave me alone.
I mean, Russell Westbrook showed that he won a championship for real. He took like $6 million. He took a vet minimum contract to come back to the Clippers to try to win him a championship. That's somebody that's trying to go earn them one. You know what I'm saying? That's somebody you can put respect on their name. But James Harden doing is showing these youngsters. And this is why they're killing the whole superstar thing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. If you look at the All-Star games, you look at all these contracts, the superstars are aging out. Superstardom is pretty much over in the NBA. And they ain't going to do that no more because they have too much power. And they ain't going to get that power to the players no more. So
right,
it's looking real ugly. And I don't know what James Harden going to do. But let's get to this NFL topic, man. So the 49ers losing to the Cleveland Browns and then coming back and on Monday night losing to the Minnesota Vikings without their star player and leaving to the Cleveland Browns without their quarterback. Brock Purdy struggled in both games. And this last game, he threw an interception on the game-winning drive to actually end the game. So the question now becomes, are the 49ers going to regret getting rid of Trey Lance and going with Brock Purdy? Was this a mistake? Is Brock Purdy who we thought he was, or was he just on a hot streak? We remember Nick Foles caught the heat with the Philadelphia Eagles, went on and won that Super Bowl, but he never panned out to be that quarterback that he was that on that magical run. Was that the best that we will ever see of Brock Purdy? And will they regret getting rid of Trey Lance for Brock Purdy? What's your thoughts on this?
I hope so. I hope. Man, first of all, forget the 49ers. Seahawk Nation all day, every day. I hope this pans out for you guys. Like it did with the Eagles. My bad, Amrock. I know. But at least your Eagles, like, they got one, then they got another one, right? And then they went back to one.
Yeah, we got one and went back to one. Yep.
Yeah, you know, in this situation, I remember coming on here and saying, hey, 49ers, yo, that's kind of messed up. Like, the dude got injured, and then he did bad in the preseason. And you guys are like, we don't – that's enough. That's all we need to see. Get rid of him. And you guys get rid of him. And you guys never even gave the quarterback a chance. Now, would he be better? You never know. I mean, is Dallas going to get rid of Prescott? Hopefully. But you don't know. But I just hope that it doesn't work out for you guys. That works out for my Seahawks. And I just hope that it doesn't work out because you guys jumped the gun too early. At least when the Eagles did it, they won a championship. At least they were like, hey, we won a championship. Maybe he is the quarterback. No, the Eagles went with the other guy. When the guy that won him started. I'll take it back. But at least the Eagles still got a championship out of it. Y'all, y'all got absolutely nothing, and y'all betting on this man, and this is what you guys get. I hope you guys lose the rest of your games. Seahawk Nation.
Yeah, I don't understand how, you know, within 12 games, I guess, Brock Purdy has played. He's become this elite quarterback. You know, not to say that he hasn't been pretty good, but certainly the structure that he's in has something to do with it. And so, you know, I don't think they should, are going to regret it. You know, they made the decision. You live with it. It's that simple. You went with Brock Purdy, stick with him. You know, you got your backups. You got Sam Darnold and whoever else. You're just going to have to roll with that. You know, when we did it, you know, yes, Wentz got hurt. Nick Foles came in and saved the day. But everybody and their grandmama knew that Nick Foles wasn't a regular season quarterback. He had shown that. We started him plenty of times before. Other teams started him plenty of times before. He'll get hurt and then, you know, and then have this resurgence towards the end of the season and going into the playoffs. He wasn't a 4-year quarterback. And so with Brock Purdy, I mean, listen, you know, you have a good team in the 49ers. I know they lost two straight, but this team is still a great team, especially in the NFC. You know, he's been pretty good, you know, up until this last game. Of course, got hurt, but, you know, he's certainly not an elite quarterback, but that's, you know, he fits in that system. They don't need him to do too much because the defense is stellar, because you have guys who, if he just drops the ball to McCaffrey or Debo or Ayuk, you know, they'll go make plays, or Kittles, they'll all go make plays. And so he doesn't have to do too much in the system, so it works for him. I would have imagined Trey Lance would have been in that same structure, and we really didn't get to see what he could have done, but I'm sure it probably would have been maybe similar. I think Brock Purdy is probably a little bit more accurate, and Trey Lance would have been that more dynamic QB like a Fields or a Lamar Jackson, you know, Stroud, Hurts, what we see. But, you know, no, I don't think they should regret it. You made the decision. You live with Brock Purdy. He just happened to have a bad game, get hurt. But this team is still a solid team. They're still a threat in the NFC with the Eagles, with, you know, the Cowboys, with the Detroit. You know, they'll be right up there, you know, and it's only, you know, concussion protocol. Hopefully he'll be back next game, or if not the game after. And they'll, you know, they'll keep it moving.
Nope. I hope your season over.
I think that it definitely was a mistake just because of arm strength. I don't think Brock Purdy possesses enough arm strength to push the ball downfield. So when you got these quick hitches and you rely on all this run after catch, with a number one run after catch team in the league. But then when you get your left tackle going down, and then you get your Debo Samuel going down, and now you have an injured Christian McCaffrey, then it's like, now all that run after the catch is over. So now the receivers need to win at the line. Okay, well, what if they don't win off the line? Then those 3-yard, 5-yard routes, 7-yard routes ain't gonna hit. So now you need to do these 5-7-step drops and actually hit something downfield. And when you try to push it downfield, what do? Throw interceptions. So I think that he doesn't possess the skill set to do anything else but dink and dunk. So when the dink and dunk don't work, our offense is stagnant. They can play a zone. They can blitz us all game. Like, that's what they did. They blitzed us and played a cover two shell because they knew that we couldn't go deep. And unless you actually send the ball deep or complete some deep throws, then – I mean, it's not gonna do anything for you. I feel like the 49ers really put themselves in a bind right now when they just bet on Brock Purdy like this without him being proven. And now that we have some injuries and our players aren't winning on the line of scrimmage, man, we look very pedestrian, and he looks very overrated. He looks very overrated, and Trey Lance actually gets a chance to shine. Whenever he steps on the field and he actually molds out to be that player, because we all know what Brock Purdy is lacking is that arm strength. That's what I was talking about. We know for a fact, regardless if he could read the plays or not, or he knew the offense or not, Trey Lance has a rocket of an arm. And he can throw that ball 60, 70 yards down the field. And that's something that Brock Purdy just does not possess. So I don't think that ultimately Brock Purdy is going to be the answer. He might be the right now, but ultimately we're going to have to go out and get us another quarterback. So we did all this the last 5 years trying to find a quarterback just to find out. We got to find a quarterback. This shit is dumb as hell. We should have never bet on Brock Purdy. And it's coming back to bite us in the ass.
Ladies and gentlemen, I figured out the real problem. Pretty much. The real problem is not the 49ers. It's not the organization. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is Dank Sinatra. Let me tell you guys why it's Dank. What is Dank's two teams, ladies and gentlemen? the 49ers, and the Clippers. The Clippers did something like this as well. Didn't they get rid of Shai Alexander?
Uh-huh.
They did.
For Paul George, though.
And that's?
For a superstar. Ooh. We didn't get rid of him for no bombing. We got for a bona fide superstar player in the league.
Who's better right now?
Shai. But he's younger. I mean,
okay. Okay. See? See? Then it happens again with his football team, ladies and gentlemen. They went with one guy and they got rid of this other guy. Now with this other guy that they got rid of, becomes a bona fide star. You heard it here first. It's not the organization. It's Dank. It is Dank.
Man, I don't know, man. Brock Purdy he's a disappointment for me right now, man. I can't lie. But have y'all heard about this?
The Seahawks?
Have y'all heard about this Suge Knight news, man? So Suge Knight, after all this Tupac murder stuff has been going down and they've been solving the murder case, now he said he wasn't going to testify. But now that his name is being brought up and all of this stuff in the story, he has a buzz. So now he wants to tell his side of the story through a podcast from jail. So Suge Knight, former Death Row founder, will be starting his own podcast from jail. And he's saying he ain't going to do no corny shit. He's going to tell it like it is. And he got too many stories to tell. What are y'all thoughts on Suge Knight starting a podcast from jail? Will you tune in and listen? And what do you think about an inmate creating a podcast like this, period, and the opportunity to even create that revenue from behind the walls? What are y'all thoughts on that opportunity even being allotted to inmates? What's your thoughts?
That's what I was trying to figure out. How are you able to create a podcast? And I mean, you can get a degree in jail. So I guess, right? You can get your degree in jail. I think I seen one movie where was it Jamie Foxx or somebody? I don't remember, but it was something of you can get your degree in jail, right?
Probably so just mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you can do that, I guess you can podcast from jail. But the only thing is, the issue that I have is what you said, Kalen. Now, are you making money off of this? Does it go to your books? Does it allow you to get those little cupcakes? Mm-hmm. Who knows? That's the only problem I got with it. How are you? Now you gonna make money off of it, and you about to make money off of something that is probably not true. Nobody knows if Suge is even going to tell you the truth or not. So people are going to listen, but I myself, I'm not gonna waste my time listening to Suge Knight from jail in a podcast where, if anybody that is watching this podcast, if you are tuning into the Suge Knight podcast and you don't tune in every week to this podcast, you should be ashamed of yourself. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah.
Or the H&L podcast.
Appreciate you. Not like, you know, look, most people today have some type of platform, whether it's podcast, radio, video content, what have you. And so, I'm not surprised because, this is Suge Knight. Nothing surprises me when it comes to Suge Knight or Death Row or, that era and the things now that we're hearing from Keefe D. Like, nothing surprises, so sure should surprise us, from Suge Knight. If he wants to start a podcast, listen, hey, you know, the prison system benefiting off our black and brown brothers, you know, right now, you know, creating materials for organizations such as Victoria's Secret and others, you know, using that prison labor to benefit, you know, and help their corporations profit, right? And so the prison system been getting over. You know, they can let certainly one person or two or a few people start a podcast, create a podcast. I mean, you know, a lot of inmates supposedly have cell phones and laptops and all this other stuff in there. So, I mean, I'm not surprised. You know, I'm sure he probably has the capabilities. I'm sure there's some type of room that he can go to and record his podcast. And that's what he wants to do. Then so be it. You know, now, yeah, should people listen and tune in? You know, hey, listen, you know, like y'all said, if you're not tuning into the Politicking podcast or HL podcast or any other, you know, podcast that Politicking is associated with, you know, but you're going to watch the Suge Knight podcast. Okay. But, you know, at the end of the day, hey, if he wants to do it, he could do it. Hey, that's his profit. Again, prison system been profiting off of black and brown people, you know, since they started the prison systems. Why not?
Back. I don't know, me personally, I'm a listener to the Suge Knight podcast, and I'm a listener to the Suge Knight podcast simply because of one thing. Everybody has told their story of Suge Knight. Vanilla Ice said, oh yeah, he held me over the balcony and made me sign the paperwork, and they dropped straight out of Compton. The reason that he's in jail is because he didn't like the way that he was being portrayed and straight out of Compton, and he showed up to the movie set and they started jumping him, and then he ended up running over a dude and killing him, and that's why he's in jail now, because he was mad about the way that they was betraying him. I watched the Michelet Lifetime story with my wife, and the way she portrayed Suge Knight beating on her, as well as Dr. Dre. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Then we hear the story from all the Bad Boy artists. We hear the Snoop Dogg started part of the story when he left, and he was with Master P and all this. We hear everybody's story, but we've never heard Suge retaliate, slander anybody, or say anything of any of these stories or accusations. So the fact that he could put it out in the podcast, monetize from it, and actually tell his side of the story, since everybody wants to speak ill on his name, I think it's a genius thing, and I think it's a great opportunity. And he's striking while the iron's hot. So why not, man? Tell your side of the story. There's so many different things. There's so many stories. There's so many different people that have painted you to be this person. So for you to finally tell your side of the story on your platform, I mean, it's sad that it has to come from you being in jail, thinking that you're going to literally Suge Knight your way in a situation where you're going to show up to a movie set thinking that you're just going to change a whole movie. They didn't do reads, they didn't do scripts, they didn't do rewrites. If this is the way that they wrote your character, this is what your character, the way your character is going to be portrayed. And you showing up to the movie set thinking you're going to beat people up and punk them into changing the way. And that's one thing, like Nipsey hit it on the head. Nipsey had a quote where he says, black people, we got to change the way we operate when we disrespect it. Because we get disrespected and we go into this one mold, and it ruins everything that we built, everything, all our reputation, everything that we done built up is all gone in one moment because we felt disrespected. And there's so many black brothers sitting in jail right now, just like Suge Knight, because they felt disrespected and moved in the wrong way. And I think that that's something that we really got to work on as a community, because this black man should be getting millions of dollars to sit in front of a camera in his mansion and tell these stories, not from behind a jail cell. Yep. But we know who's about to be sitting in the jail cell, though. That boy Trump. Donald Trump. It's looking ugly for him and Rico, man. He, if you've seen his mugshot, did y'all see Donald Trump mugshot, man?
No.
Nah.
Donald Trump mugshot, man. Let me see if I could get this real fast. We need this. Because this shit is hilarious, bro. But Donald Trump, we all know that he's in a RICO case in Fulton County. Well, six of his crimies or co-defendants have been offered deals. So it didn't state that they have taken the deals, but they have been offered deals. But it looks about six of his co-defendants in this case is getting ready to flip. And it's already hard enough to beat a RICO case without anybody snitching. It's damn near impossible when somebody's snitching. And when you got six people ready to snitch, and I think Rudy Giuliani, his ex-lawyer, is one of those. I mean, it's a wrap for you, man. Cancel Christmas for Trump. There goes mugshot. Look at him. Look at him. It's not looking too good for Trump, man. Now that six of his crimies is about to switch up on him and snitch. What are y'all thoughts on this RICO case and Donald Trump's recent mugshot as he's getting ready to try to beat these RICO charges? I think he got a shot.
I, again, as we've stated on this show before, I believe it when I see it. As of right now, yeah, he might be in jail or on bail. We don't know where Trump is. He could be overseas. We don't know. You know, until we see it, I don't believe it. But it's actually, look, yeah, this shot right here. This is actually hilarious. You know, see all these prominent, supposedly prominent white people in these mug shots. It's absolutely hysterical, and well deserved. Especially Rudy Giuliani's crooked ass. But and then you got your one brother in the middle. It's just sad. Now, why would you even associate yourself? But anyway, listen, man, you know, Donald Trump, I believe it when I see it. This man's, you know, he said he had COVID, and then a week later he was fine, you know. You know, he caused a whole riot on the, this man went from, you know, TV personality, you know, business entrepreneur, whatever, you know, to being the president. I mean, it's nothing that this man supposedly can't do, can't beat, can't overcome. So, you know, you're white in America, you were a former president. You know, I know they're really trying hard to get him, supposedly, or just distract us, like they're acting like they're getting him. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, until they actually show me a photo, some video footage of Donald Trump behind bars, it looks, sounds just like him. I don't believe it until I see it. Even if he does get convicted, who's to say that they're not going to give him a slap on the wrist? So it's a misdemeanor, probation, what, you know, who's to say? Even if that happens, he might not even get jail time. That might be the report. That might be, you know, what it's looking like. But until that happens, man, nobody should believe it. You know, everybody else around that Donald Trump picture, all the other mugshots, yeah, them people probably going, that black man surely, and that black woman definitely going to jail. But everybody else, I believe it when I see it.
Just to chime in real fast. This is a state RICO. This is not a federal RICO. The feds did not pick this case up. The RICOs are so hard to beat because I think it's a 99% conviction rate, because the feds only come with the RICO when they got you for sure. They've been investigating you for years. They got a foolproof and they hit you with the RICO. So the fact that the feds turned down this case is letting you know that this case ain't foolproof. And this is a state RICO, and the numbers for the state RICOs, and like the federal RICOs, this is actually a rare occurrence that the state would even go with a RICO. But what's your thoughts, Sean?
What did you say again, Amrock? You believe it when you see it, right?
Even when I see it.
Let's just put everything together. Amrock says he'll believe it when he sees it. And then Caleb just came on and just said that, oh, it's not like a RICO case. It's not the federality and the feds coming at you. It's the state coming at you. Oh, well, Hamrock is right. So when he beats it, guess what? Or he gets the slap on the wrist, or who knows? He may be able to do a podcast from his jail cell for a couple months. Never know. But if at the end of the day, if he gets out of this one, what can't the man do? Right? Because I was thinking, I thought it was like a Fed one, right? So I was thinking, well, even if it was a federal RICO coming against them, they'll probably be like, okay, Trump, listen, we'll make a deal with you. You just don't run for president and you don't go to jail. Simple as that. They can do so many. Do y'all watch movies? Like in these movies and stuff? Don't you see people like come in and be like, oh, what is this show that me and my wife like watching this show called Bosch, right? And so we're watching Bosch Legacy, and the dude, right, he kidnaps the guy, the retired cop's daughter, right? And he pretty much like buries her in like off of the 138. It's somewhere in Palmdale. It looked like it. I'm like, man, it's Palmdale. But he buries her, right? Goes in to the freaking police station and he turns himself in and he says, and I guess he's like some serial rapist, right? And he turns himself in and says, all right, cool. Yeah, I did everything. But if you guys want to see his daughter again, then y'all gotta let me, y'all can't put me in jail as a pedophile.
Crazy.
Y'all can put me in jail for anything else. Y'all just can't put me in jail for that. And I'll tell you where she's at. And you better hurry up because she's buried and she only has a little bit of time left. It's just, and that's a TV show, ladies and gentlemen. These TV shows don't get it from nowhere. Movies don't just make this up out of nowhere. Hunger Games ain't as popular as it is because it's just some made up fantasy thing. This is real life stuff. So if they coming in there doing plea deals for stuff like that, you think Trump ain't going to get no plea deal? Now, man, that picture is so funny.
Boy, they looking like they about to take the deal. The lady on the top left, she's smiling. She already signed.
She's smiling like, she's like, I'm, she cool. Already signed. I'm out of here.
She knows she about to get off. And you got my man in the bottom left corner looking like Quentin Tarantino with the hair. Lordy, you got Dolly Parton in the right bottom. Yo, like, what is going on? He's still bleeding from his head. Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani. He's suing. He's suing Joe Biden for defamation.
For what?
he's the first person to sue an active president.
That's everybody's favorite thing. Let me sue. Let me sue for this. Let me sue. Man, stop it, man. Like, what's the problem with this country, man? The greed and the hypocrisy and the contradictories. Like, it's just absolutely absurd, man. Like, yo, y'all are all criminals. You are criminals in your own way. You're finally getting caught. Just accept it. Like, leave people be. You know, like,
shoot, we got to accept it when we don't do it.
You're all criminals in your own way. All of them have done something criminalist. Period.
The Republican Party is in shambles right now. They wanted to shut the government down, and the House Speaker McCarthy pushed the Democrats' plan through. And for the first time ever, they outed a Republican House Speaker, and then they put this other guy in temporarily, and then he out, and now they voting this other guy in. It's like
too many hands in the pot, man. It's too many hands in the pot.
the Republican Party, and they all gonna end up endorsing Trump once he beat all these charges. And that's the whole thing, is they trying to, everybody want to fight for power, trying to see what happened with Trump. But if Trump beat all of this, then all the power is gonna succeed right back to him, and he's gonna be the head of the party. So everybody's trying to make their run, trying to jock for position like a rebound, just in case the shot missed, so that they could grab the rock.
If Trump beats this and wins president again, would he be the GOAT of presidents?
I mean, it sucks to even have to begin to admit something like that.
He would be the GOAT of presidents.
I mean, beating all those odds like that and everything.
Obama couldn't do that.
I mean, no, not at all. Obama approval rate in his second term was trash. But if you look, if you look at history, when Hillary lost to Donald Trump, she tried to oppose the shit and call for a recount. Nobody said shit. When George Bush won the election, there was a recount in Florida, and they opposed the election. He says they didn't say or try to put him in jail for opposing the election. But Donald Trump lose, and he opposed the results, and now he got a whole RICO charge. and Hillary Clinton was caught. And Hillary Clinton was caught with the Russians trying to hack her home server that she wasn't supposed to have. And they talking about illegal documents. She had a whole server full of documents that was supposed to be hacked by the Russians. And Obama pardoned her and then endorsed her so that she could go run against Trump to try to beat him.
Yeah. So, and ladies and gentlemen, there's still a war going on as we speak.
That Joe Biden is going to pledge our whole country towards, because he's going to give everything but people until he has to give people. He already sent an American aircraft carrier over there. He's going to start sending troops, man. This war, it's a spiritual war. If you know what it is, they're fighting over the promised land. And I don't think this is just going to be diplomatically handled and just being like, okay, we give you this part of the land. Or I don't see an end to this. And eventually, when other sides jump in, America's already said and stated, hey, we're going to stand 110 toes down with Israel no matter what. So,
yeah, China apparently has already jumped in as well. And Biden has already made a statement that, you know, if they want the smoke, we can give it to them too. Which, no, you get that. No, you get that. China, what people fail to realize, that's why we lost the Vietnam War. China was an ally to Vietnam. They kept sending troops down from China to North Vietnam. That's why, you know, so shit, you can play that game if you want to. I'm sure China and Japan and both the Koreas and Vietnam have all settled their shit. But, you know, you can't be going over there. Now they're talking about U.S. talking about going over there in the Philippines, and they'll fight China for all they want is another world war, because war produces money. That's it.
Well, if you look at it, China, at 18, you have to join their army and serve. Every male has to serve in their army. So every male in the country is a soldier.
Absolutely. And look at the history of world wars, right? You have Germany invade Poland, and then Japan invades China. And then all of a sudden, what has just happened? Russia invaded the Ukraine. Now you got Israel and those countries fighting. Now all of a sudden China is stepping in saying, oh, we claim in the Philippines, this area, and unite. History constantly repeating itself. We have to understand our history and see the steps and what's happening. It's happening right now.
And then they talking about they got missiles that have shut down communications. And you remember we had Chinese balloons being shot down over American soil. I mean, it was already a cold war to begin with, and the fact that they all these countries dropped the dollar as the petrodollar, and they no longer trade in the dollar right before all of this. When they dropped the dollar, we should have already knew, okay, they want to smoke with America. And it all started when Joe Biden pulled us out of Afghanistan and left all our stuff there, all the weapons, all the Humvees, everything. He just left it there for militants to take. And that right there is just like, you left soldiers, you left people, you just left all the shit there and brought soldiers back to America. And when the whole world seen that, they said, oh, this nigga bitch made. Oh, we ready. And they press go on everything. It's ugly. All right, let's get some shout outs before we get up out of here. Go ahead, y'all.
Well, at the end of the day, you can only change what you can change, and what you can't change, you pray about it, and you continue to go forward. That's all we can do. But shout out to you, brothers. Continue to put the truth out there. Continue to be positive. Continue to uphold and uplift the people around you and your households. Shout out to everybody that freaks with the podcast. And that's all I got, man. That's all I got.
Yeah, shout out Politicking podcast as always. Shout out to Yah. Thank you for joining me on episode 2 of the HL podcast. We had to I had to reschedule with Kalen, but you know, we're gonna be on here on Halloween, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, HL podcast with Kalen. It's gonna be crazy. So appreciate everybody for the support on that. And listen, man, people, everybody just pay attention. Again, they're trying to start World War III. They trying to start it. Pay attention. Also, side note, Anthony Davis, there's an ABB out for Anthony Davis. He's missing in action. he is missing in action, man. 0 points in the second half. You talking all that? I totally agree with Stephen A. Smith. That was absolutely asinine, his performance. You can't be talking all that stuff. You got swept. And by the way, as much as people want to get on LeBron, and I understand why, the man still shows up, people. Like, we cannot deny that. The man still shows up at 40 years old, still performing. They need Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, if you do not show up, the Lakers have no chance against Phoenix or Denver in the Western Conference, straight up. You probably could be Golden State, probably could be Sacramento. If the Clippers healthy, who knows with that situation too, but Anthony Davis has these type of performances, no way. So is ABP, somebody, go to, y'all out there, go around his crib, see where he at, make sure he okay, give him some soup, maybe a little sick or something. But hey, man. But yeah, shout out to you brothers, man, as always.
Shout out to Shout out to both of y'all brothers for joining me. We had some technical difficulties, Wi-Fi tripping, and it sucks because my apartments, they only offer one provider. They got a contract with this provider that's the only people that we could get. So when shit fucking up, it's like, damn, we can't even get nobody else. We just got to deal with it because this is all we got. Yeah. So, but you don't realize how much you use Wi-Fi until it go out on you. And you like, oh, the TV don't work, oh, the radio don't work, oh, the phone don't work, oh, the laptop don't work, oh, the tablet don't work. You like, damn, nothing worked now because one thing went out. So shit, man, we gotta get off the internet, man. Stop being so reliant on the internet because it went down on me and I was on stuck mode. But one thing, man, you just gotta keep, as far as life, man, you just gotta keep motivating yourself, keep finding yourself. Last week, I actually had the opportunity to go out to Indiana for my job. I actually had to turn it down because I got a new studio and I had to move out of my storage unit and move my stuff into the new studio. so that we didn't have to pay for the storage unit. So I was getting ready to fly out into Indiana last Wednesday, but didn't have to backtrack on that to stay home to deal with another blessing. So you just got to keep your head down. You know what I'm saying? What's for you is going to be for you. So I don't try to force nothing out in this universe. Everything that I get is a lot of word of mouth marketing. I'm just out here putting out the energy that I want to receive, and the universe is going to handle the rest for me. So, you know what I'm saying? I walk by faith, not by sight. So, you know what I'm saying? God got me. So I ain't worried about it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what you're going to do with your life, but I'm going to get to it, man. Politic in the podcast. Be up out of here, man.
Smoking Dank Sinatra, that's all gas. On the hunt in a tall grass. Intercepting every ball pass, then I run it back, that's a TD. Check the scoreboard, y'all last, we up one, you see me. Pussy niggas wanna talk about it, go to Hellcat, no demon. I be politicking on your broadcast, got the red carpet like the famous homie. Ask your bitch, really famous homie, yeah. And you know it's